Liddell. This is Bob Rouse, your host of the Grace Radio series Voices. This adventure in programming for Grace Radio focuses on the voices of our neighbors here in Slidell about matters of community interest. Our guest today is Jeff Marshall, the Senior Vice President of Sterling Properties and Chairman of the Board of Camp Nora Project, located just north of Covington. Camp Nora is an important project serving the needs of homeless veterans in our community. Jeff was recently a speaker at the monthly Slidell Ministers Association meeting here in Slidell. Camp Nora is a great project. Hope you enjoy the presentation. We'll be motivated to help. Here's Jeff Marshall.
I thank you for the opportunity. This has been a challenging endeavor. You know, why am I standing here? I'm not a veteran. And I think maybe that's probably the primary reason that I'm standing here. Working with Ed Lewis, who you got a momentary view into Ed. Passionate guy. One thing Ed didn't tell in his story that I think is critically important was that motorcycle ride he was on when he was so severely injured was a charitable event. Ed was given his life through the stress and trauma that he went through coming out of the world, out of the war. He went through a period of homelessness himself, had two kids and a wife living in a car for a while, struggled from one position to another, really had a hard time acclimating himself back into private culture, as many veterans do and did, certainly coming out of Vietnam. And then Ed re-upped a couple times to find a niche for himself. But he started several different projects through his motorcycle, a passion with motorcycles that toured the country. You might have heard about the Teddy Bear Project, where they were delivering teddy bears, and he was intimately involved in several of those programs. I got to know Ed through my love of cars. I'm a member of a Corvette club locally and was president for a couple of years, and met Ed down in the World of Wheels show down in New Orleans. When I met Ed, it just became apparent to me, I think God puts people in your life for a reason. I had been looking for connection. I spent most of my life, you know, as I said before, probably spending and focusing on here as opposed to on here. More of my time and energy was going into trying to further my own financial wherewithal as opposed to serving as the level that I felt was essential that my faith dictated. Ed, really an odd situation, as Ed said, not a particularly devout Christian in the sense of formal churching, but clearly a devout individual who understand God's purpose for his life. And when I met Ed, long before I heard that testimony, I was drawn immediately to his repatriation of lost heroes in Vietnam. We had soldiers, 1,681 to this day, are still missing in action. And I think there's no question in some of the research I've done after meeting Ed and meeting families who have lost people so long ago, remembering obviously Vietnam veterans, most of the peer group that they have are folks that are, you know, in their 70s, late 60s, 70s. Their families, their parents, in many cases are not around anymore, but siblings and even offspring, it's very meaningful when they're able to bring remains home and celebrate the life of the fallen heroes. And there's really an empty spot, much like probably the empty spot I felt before I accepted Christ in my life, when you have that hole in your heart and you can't quite identify what it is. Those folks don't have the closure of being able to, even if it's a remain of a bone of a lost soldier, to be able to bring them home and truly celebrate their life by burying them properly with honor is important. And so I fell in love with that project. And then as I got to know Ed, and the opportunity that I saw was that Ed is a kind of a linear focused guy. He'll go from point A to all the way through the alphabet to Z in a straight line, and nothing's going to stop him along the way. And what I recognized with Ed was that he didn't have the support that was necessary to help him achieve his goals and achieve his mission. So what I decided to do was get involved with Ed to the extent that he'd have me. He ultimately asked me to become the chairman of his board, and we've been in the process since then of forming, that was a couple years ago, of kind of forming a support group to help execute on these missions. And I briefly mentioned last time I was here, and appreciate the opportunity to be here again, we went from that being our primary mission with the Camp Nora, or the homeless veterans, was on the agenda as an item that we were going to address in the future. And the way I like to tell the story is we're kind of like the dog who caught the car, and now we're trying to figure out what to do with it. We had this opportunity to have a young man who's at one of our brokers in our real estate office who ended up listing the old Danielle Inn, which the Agape Ministries had run out in the Covington area, just north of Covington, near Lee Road. And that product was so specifically, or I guess so greatly, fit what our vision was for a homeless veterans program. It's 13 bedrooms. It's got a commercial kitchen. It's just a perfect 17-acre pristine site that is very, very warm, very encouraging. It's a site where it's not institutional in feel. It just really pushed all the buttons that we we wanted to push, but it came a year before we were ready. And so the issue was, I said, you know, I got to go. In fact, I remember Abby Shields from the Agape Ministry, she's very supportive. They've been very supportive of our effort to try to move this process forward and buying the facility from them. She just looked at me at one point and said, Jeff, you know, and it's said often, and it's not a trite comment, you know, let God and let go. The issue was that if you sit back and try to figure it out and line all your ducks up in a row, it's not going to happen. And so I realized I had to let go of my own business thoughts, that I had to have the business plan established and had to have the funding all lined up, and it would all be about a year down the road, as I mentioned. Well, that time is now. And so the good news was we were able to put together, through some early contributions, the ability to go out and rent the facility on a rental and a lease purchase opportunity. And it's a substantial purchase. It's a $635,000 property. It's a good deal. It's a very specific use. Doesn't have a lot of uses that could be converted back to residential. So there's some struggle that they were having selling the property because it is so specifically set up. We have, you know, you go in the home and they doubled the size of it. Even though it's residential nature inside, you have a fire system, a sprinkler system, pipes running throughout the house. So, I mean, it clearly has been converted to a commercial use. But it was the right deal for us. There was no question that it was there. The need is there. We have a hole in our providing for veterans homelessness. You have the New Orleans Missions, picked up the old K-Bar B Ranch over off in Lacombe area. I'm not sure if it's all the way to Lacombe, but, and they have a great mission. They have a focus that is very specific, but what we found and what's been found nationally is that veterans in a homeless environment don't necessarily always play nice with other homeless people. There's a little bit of an ego involved that they feel that, you know, that ultimately, number one, you can't empathize with them because you're not a veteran. Number two, I have a reason for the reason, you know, for the fact that it's put me here. I have PTSD or I've struggled through issues. You know, what's your excuse? You're just a slacker. So they were disruptive oftentimes in dealing with the other homeless people. And so what's proven around the country and the research that we've done and studying several different examples, in fact, I'm going up to Chicago this weekend to look at another one that's a real close parallel to what we're doing, you know, that if we put them in community with each other and where they have veteran leadership, they're very pliable and moldable. You know, if you think about the experience that a veteran went through, most of the veterans we're dealing that fall into homelessness are not the guys who went to ROTC and went in as commissioned officers. They're the guys who were the enlistees who a lot of times were struggling at home. Sometimes they got kicked to the military because of the fact they weren't performing well in society in general, and mom and dad said, that's it, you know, you're going there, or even the court system putting people in. There were several and a lot of guys and gals who went in for the right reasons, who felt patriotic and felt the need to serve their country, but most of those folks came from strong support systems and don't come home and end up homeless. The ones that end up coming home and homeless, most cases, are men and women who've been put into that environment. They were basically, it was the mission of the drill sergeants in the boot camp to take these guys and strip them down to this lump of clay so that they could mold them into soldiers. And they did so, and they do it well. Ed actually had that role. But when you take all that structure and then you send these guys and gals off, and if they're deployed, of course, they end up with experience things that we can't imagine unless you've been there, which I have not. But the horrors that really lead to PTSD, the physical problems that come back from serving in combat and being injured, but the emotional injuries inside and seeing things that we can't fathom in terms of, you know, just minimizing the value of human life, is hard to come back and just reenter the world and deal with that if you can't. You know, if you can't empathize with it truly. So they came back, and they come back, and they've had all that structure in their life, and they come back, and obviously their motivation is not to re-up because they don't want to go back and experience that again. These guys, a lot of them went in because they were struggling maybe a little bit at home. Their support system isn't in place at home. They come back, and now they're thrown into the world to say good luck, and they have zero structure. So needless to say, with zero structure, they're basically going to, over time, eventually end up with substance abuse issues. They're going to self-medicate. They're going to just fall into homelessness. And once they're in a homeless situation, it's very difficult to pull them out of it. And what we've done with this home and what our mission is, and is that we're providing, and I think it's important I keep going back to this home because it feels like a home. It's like you would be sitting in your living room in your house. It's very meaningful that it's not institutional. It doesn't look like a barracks. It's a home, and it's a product that we think will enable these guys to kind of reacclimate to re-entering, stabilizing where they are, and being able to re-enter society. Now, Again, we can't stop the homelessness if we don't provide them with some opportunity to be retrained and reenter the workforce. So our mission goes beyond that, but we take them up front. We evaluate their individual position. We're working with we're not providing medical or mental health services there, but we know where to send them, where to, some cases we're getting from the VA clinic here in Slidell. Some cases we're getting through the court system with the Ray Childress running the Veterans Court, which hopefully we can continue to run in light of our recent failure to get some additional funding for that, or ongoing funding. But I think the end of the day is that these folks that are coming to us need to be able to be, and this key in this whole deal is that it's a transitional facility. It's not about giving them a warm place to stay for a few days and then turn them back loose. It's about identifying where they are, working into a program. We have 6-month, 12-month, 18- and 24-month programs that we try to slot them into. It's called an individual service program. And we have counselors that we're working with them. And by the way, all of our people are non-compensated while we're getting started, but they're passionate about it as I am, and they're getting involved to help these guys and gals. And eventually we will hire what I would consider to be a qualified director who carries the right credentials. In the meantime, we're not qualified. We're running with Ed is standing in as our interim director. We're working with several folks that are stepping into the various slots that we need. We've got trained counselors. And a lot of it's literally just a matter of directing traffic, getting them in, identifying where they are. Each of them's a little different, and plugging them into the right solution to get them out of their homelessness. And that's going to involve vocational training. We've got affiliations with Southeastern University, various trade schools, online universities. We have a computer lab where these guys will have the opportunity to pursue. But the point is, we'll be in contact with them. There'll be a house manager living on site. We'll be in contact with them, assessing their progress. It's not a matter of just here it is, go read this book and good luck. We'll be with them day in, day out. They'll be involved as soon as we can get them into an employment situation. We have up to about a half dozen different employers who have agreed to take them at certain stages in their development and employ them. And one of the challenges we have is we've got to come up with a 15-passenger van, figure out how to get them to their jobs. That's part of the process that we're going through. Up front, today where we sit, we cut the ribbon on January 29th. So let's just say basically February and March, we've spent those entire 2 months getting the facility to where it's prepared to meet the criteria to be. It's not a licensing issue as much as it is meeting those life safety requirements that are necessary. So we found everything that could possibly be wrong with a house that had kind of fallen into disrepair over that time period. But we've identified those now, and we actually are waiting now, and the fire marshal will be coming out shortly once we finally found out which board kept shorting in the sprinkler fires panel after 3 or 4 tries. And we've got that straight. We've got the sewage and water treatment plant system straight. All of our issues in terms, and we had 31 leaks in the water pipes that had come from different freezings over time. So we got all that done. So the facility itself is prepared now to move and start receiving people. We have a few people that are ready to come in that are being referred to us from the organizations that I briefly mentioned. But one of those is, at any point in time, there can be 8. At one last check that I had, which was about a month or so ago, there were 8 different veterans incarcerated in the parish jail that were basically being held there because they weren't quite sure what to do with them. They didn't really belong there. They were minor offenses, maybe vagrancy, other issues, but what are you going to do? You turn them loose on the street, they're going to reoffend, and they really got nowhere to go. So we're hoping to be a solution to that. Ed works as a mentor for the Veterans Court System, which is a great program. I won't take all the time on that, but if you learn a little bit about it, it's ultimately an opportunity, kind of like the drug courts, but gives these guys a chance to work their way out of with some discipline situations they've gotten themselves into that aren't quite so onerous on their future. So we've got an ample supply of veterans that need the support. What I'm trying to do is get out to as many people as possible and ask for the help of this group as well that I would love to be able to have, and I'm going to coordinate some contact through Morris. To his credit, he wouldn't turn loose your email list to me, which I don't blame him. So he's acted as a good steward of that information. But I'm going to send him some information to pass on to you. But we could really appreciate, and I'd love the opportunity, if anybody's willing to allow us to come and speak at your churches, would love to do that. I think the key is we're going to have two elements of success here that our financial challenges is going to have to be met by. The two elements are what I would consider to be a foundation givers, which are the upfront capital necessary to raise the $200,000 down payment we need to fully move this process forward with purchasing the home. We're underway with that. We're actually getting heavily involved right now in that process of the collateral materials that I need to be able to go sit down with businesses and significant potential donors. But we also have a grassroots side of this that's going to be very important. And it's not like not knocking wounded warriors. They got beat up a little bit in the press, but as my understanding is, the local chapter is outstanding and does a great job with veterans. The issue we have is that we need to say, if you want to look at an opportunity that's right outside your door, it's serving Washington, St. Tammany Parish. It's an unmet need. It's private funded. We're seeking grant funds, but fundamentally the sustaining gifts from the grassroots side of this is going to be critical. So if we can get in front of, and I'll speak to everybody who'll give me the opportunity about this, if we can get in front of more and more people, and if those $25 gift a month kind of gifts, they'll add up. We have 40,000 veterans in St. Tammany and Washington Parish alone. We've got population of 350,000 people, I think, between the two parishes. If we can get out through grassroots and reach to those folks and get those $25 gifts per month, which most people can afford to give, then we can really serve this group of people. And it's transitional. I mean, it really is. If you think about taking these people and giving them an opportunity who they gave so selfishly for us, and then they came back and are forgotten about, this is an opportunity to really reach out and make a difference in the lives of those people, and obviously their offspring, their families, and it just goes on giving, as you all know, through the charitable work that the churches do. Again, without getting too political, obviously the private sector, we, through churches and through just good people, take care of ourselves far better than a federal agency can, betting money from the top down. Same thing here with the Veterans Administration has not done a great job in a lot of cases. They're doing better. We can do better locally if we get the word out and identify the opportunity. So that's what I'm trying to do today. I will mention there's a June 9th, and you'll get this information shortly. Dinner Dance, the Slidell Elks Club has been kind enough to sponsor an event for us. We've got the Eli Seals Band. If you're a country music fan, this guy's an up-and-comer who's very capable. $25 a ticket. I have tickets here if anybody's interested, but I can certainly get them to you if not. But it's a night of dinners on the house, and let me say on the house, it's $25 a ticket. But hey, the entertainment alone is worth more than $25 a ticket. Food and beverage, there will be beer and wine served, and there's a cash bar for those who decide that's important. But the Elks have donated it to us, which is wonderful, so I'd love to have you all show up. It's right here in town. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Slidell, for tuning in to Voices here on Grace Radio today. We want to hear from you. You can call us now at 985-250-1037. You can leave a comment. You can send us a text. If you have comments about today's programming, something that you heard that was of interest to you, let us know. We'd love to hear from you. We would encourage you to like us on Facebook, Grace Radio of Slidell, where you can leave a comment. You can also check in on our website, www.graceradioslidell.net. There you can make a tax-deductible donation to support this station. We need the support of listeners just like you. And again, give us a call, 985-250-1037. Well, that's it for now. Join us again on Voices of Slidell daily at 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. and get in the flow of God's grace here in Slidell.